Now, one of the things that you'll find if you read through the footnotes of any study Bible is that these footnotes are in some ways more important in the mind of those who follow their particular religion or sect than the scriptures are themselves. And this is very troubling to me, because there are certain things within the scriptures that have been influenced to such a degree by subsequent theology that is subsequent to the fact, right, obscuring the truth of what is being said, while at the same time posing as some kind of light or detail to the truth, you know, while at the same time concealing it. One of the easiest books to illustrate this in is the Epistle of Jude. When you read the footnotes, and I encourage anybody to pick up, you know, half dozen Bibles just when the next time they're in a bookstore, or, you know, the next time they're at home and they want to whip out all their Bibles and look at the footnotes, I suggest that you look at the footnotes for verses 9, 14, and 15. And maybe if you really care, you can read the introduction, because this is where you really get into the various arts of Christian deception. Yeah, that's what I mean, Christian deception. There are ways in which the fact that books are quoted as scripture are presented to the reader, the unsuspecting reader, to the supposed believer, that are deceptive in nature. And there are various approaches that these people make towards the problem, which are very enlightening and at the same time somewhat amusing. Let me give you an example. Pick up just the Harper Study Bible, HarperCollins Study Bible, right? Now, let me read you verse 4 or verse 9 out of Jude. It says, "But when the archangel Michael contended with the devil and disputed about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a condemnation of slander against him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Okay, so in this particular Bible, they actually admit that this is from a non-canonical source. It says, "In the apocryphal story of about the burial of Moses, Moses and the devil engage in a legal dispute. The devil accuses Moses of murder. Michael knows this charge is slander, but does not presume to condemn the devil for slander on his own authority. Instead, he refers the matter to the authority of the divine judge." The implication of verse 9 is to contrast Michael's behavior with that of the opponents, who claim to be exempt from all moral authority, and on their own authority reject all moral charges against them. Okay, now this approach is very interesting for what it says and what it doesn't say. Number one, it admits that this is a quote from a non-canonical source, so you gotta give them kudos for that, because half the sources don't even do that. Okay, so the reader, unless they somehow knew that or found that out, wouldn't know. So that filters through a lot of Christians, because a lot of Christians don't have study Bibles, they don't study them, or they don't, you know, or they take them at face value, which is the next problem. That you actually read that, and you gather from that, that what Jude was trying to say was that these people speak presumptuously on their own authority, which of course they do, and I'm not trying to deny that fact, but what they didn't answer in that particular footnote was just why Jude quoted from an apocryphal source, and there are other things along that line. Like, I think this one says, let me see, yeah, it says verse 9, this is the NIV Study Bible. It says, "According to several church fathers, this verse is based on an apocryphal work called the Assumption of Moses." So it admits it straight up. Okay, so this is known in the scholarly community. It's just a fact. Other New Testament quotes from or allusions to non-biblical work include Paul's quotations of Aretas in Acts 17:28, Menander, 1 Corinthians 15:33, and Epimenides in Titus 1:12. It says, such usage in no way suggests that the quotations or the books from which they were taken are divinely inspired. It only means that the biblical author found the quotations to be a helpful confirmation, clarification, or illustration. Okay, so there it tries to explain it away. And it uses it by comparing it to certain examples of Paul, which are to, you know, Greek and, you know, other poets. And I believe one of them he actually called a prophet of their own, right? But that just belies the point. In other words, Paul never speaks of these prophets, even when he does quote them, as prophets of their own. He never speaks of them as prophets in the vein of Judaism, right? So when he quotes those, it's more like saying, well, look, even your own people know this, even your own people know that, right? But it by that analogy, it tries to obscure the fact that Enoch would not have been seen as that. Enoch would not have been seen as an outside prophet speaking to their own people. I think in Judaism there was the thought that there were Jewish prophets and there were prophets of other land. I mean, Paul speaks of Jannes and Jambres and magicians and you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there was this idea that every culture had their power, their knowledge, their esoteric wisdom, their whatever, you know, their gods, so to speak. You know, when Paul does it, it's just sort of by way of saying, look, you know, you already believe this, you already know this, you know, because he says, like, to the barbarians, I'm a barbarian, and to the, you know, Greeks, I'm a Greek, and so on and so forth, right? But when Jude does this, especially when it comes to verses 14 and 15, his quotes from Enoch, he does so by saying Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. So he clearly puts him in the vein of, you know, the prophets that came. I mean, he was number seven, if you count Adam, right? So he's clearly an important guy. He's before Abraham. He's before Isaiah. He's way before any of those people, right? So he puts some emphasis on this, right? He says the seventh man prophesied. So he throws this word prophesy so that his word has the weight of prophecy, right, about these men, right? And who are these people? These are people that are creeping into the church, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. These men are there to be judged at the time of the Lord's coming. And more importantly, that means that he's quoting Enoch with reference to these men at the time of the Lord's coming, meaning that this book is in effect at the time of the Lord's coming because it has the power from God to condemn them. And what have they done? What do we know for sure that they've done? What do we know for sure that they've done? We know for sure that they have denied the book of Enoch. And they have denied the assumption of Moses. That much we know for sure, and that much they themselves admit. Okay, so in the face of all that, let's say I pick up another Bible, all right, just some random King James Version Bible that does have an internal concordance, right? Well, let's say I go and I pick up and I look at 14 and 15 of that, and I start reading, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Oh, look, there's a footnote, right? So I go to that footnote, and where does it send me? It sends me to Genesis 5:18, which I'm sure that if I go there, I'll find a little something about Enoch, the seventh from Adam. But it says, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Oh, look, there's another one. Where does it lead me? It leads me to Daniel. It leads me to Hebrews. But guess where it doesn't lead me? It doesn't lead me to Enoch 1:9. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that when you're looking at theology, you're looking at hocus pocus, okay? You're looking at people who are trying to distract you from the truth, okay? They're trying to tell you that the truth is this way when it's actually that way. And so when you see what's that way, you look at all the people around you who believe that it's this other way, and you think, surely, I can't be wrong, and I can't be right in the face of all that. They can't all be wrong, you know? And yet the Bible does say, you know, let God be true and every man a liar, right? So it's entirely possible for people to be completely wrong about it.